This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report. Produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. And I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. Later on, spyware in New York City taxis. Is it as American as apple pie?
But first, why don't Clinton, Obama, Edwards, Romney, and Schwarzenegger support single-payer health care with Dr. Stephanie Wollhandler, Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School and co-founder of Physicians for a National Health Program? Well, with 47 million U.S. citizens uninsured, national health care is an overwhelming issue. While politicians scramble to address it, most build on the current system of private insurance, whose inefficiency and profit-taking are the major cause of the problem. The latest attempts are the Massachusetts and California experiments and proposals set forward by presidential candidate John Edwards. Well, we're going to explore these issues and we're going to see why single payer, which has a great deal of currency in the grassroots, hardly seems to be on the radar of any of these politicians. So is half a loaf better than none?
Dr. Wollhandler, welcome to WBAI's Building Bridges.
Happy to be here.
Before we get into your prescription for change, why don't we talk about your diagnosis of what's wrong with the current system as it relates to health insurance?
Well, in addition to 47 million uninsured, as you guys mentioned, we have the world's most expensive health care. This year, we'll spend about $7,000 per capita on health care. That's twice the average for other developed nations. Of course, all the rest of those developed nations do have universal coverage through some form of nonprofit national health insurance. So we have an unequal health system and a system that excludes 47 million uninsured people, excludes tens of millions more who are underinsured, that is, they have only partial coverage, and yet it's just wildly expensive.
But why is this system, why is our system so broke?
We're the only country that has built its system around the private health insurance industry. Other developed countries use some form of national health insurance with government guarantees, regulation, and either government or nonprofit administration of the health care system.
And why is the private insurance system so expensive and so incomplete?
Well, the private insurance system has a huge overhead. Typically, an HMO, a private HMO in the United States, might have overhead of 18, 20, even 22%. A 22% overhead would mean that for every dollar that the HMO received, only 78 cents ever comes out as care to pay doctors or hospitals or nurses or even drug companies. The other 22 cents just sits there and with the insurance company. And when you have that kind of overhead, you end up with a lot of the money that you need to care for people siphoned off to insurance industry paperwork and insurance industry profits. The other issue is that when you have a system with multiple payers, you can't do any real health planning. That is, you can't figure out how to get the primary care and preventive resources out to everyone. You can't figure out how to avoid duplication of expensive high-technology services when they're redundant, wasteful, and sometimes even harmful in terms of quality. So the fragmented system we have now means you can't do that health planning that allows you to provide efficient, high-quality health care.
Okay, let's now switch over a little bit and talk about your doctor. Let's get into a prescription for change, and then we'll talk about other prescriptions that the states and different other politicians are putting forth.
Well, I'm a founder of a group called Physicians for a National Health Program, and we have about 14,000 physician members, 1,000 of them in the state of Massachusetts and 13,000 elsewhere. But we advocate nonprofit national health insurance, so-called single-payer national health insurance. And people are kind of surprised when they hear so many doctors endorsing the idea of an increased government role in health care. But polls are showing that a substantial fraction of the medical profession is just fed up with the current system, finds that we can't provide patients with the care we know how to provide, but we're blocked from giving it because of the finance system is broken, because the insurance restrictions or lack of insurance altogether means the patients can't get what they want. So increasingly, people within our group, many people within the medical profession, are recognizing that we do need some form of single-payer national health insurance. Now, single-payer would be something like Social Security, except, of course, for health care. Really, the day you were born, you would be enrolled in a Social Security-like insurance system that would cover all your health care costs, and you'd stay in that system all of your life. Everyone would be in the same system, and nobody would be left out.
Doctor, I don't quite get it. Clinton, when he ran for office, former President Bill Clinton, one of the critical, if not the critical issue, was determined to be health care. And yet nothing happened with that opportunity. Today, on the front page of the New York Times national section, there's a woman who is, I believe, a real estate broker. She just spent a year going through cancer treatment, and she has no health insurance at this point and is devastated. And it would take approximately, she earns, I believe, $60,000. And they said that it would take $25,000 to have health care coverage if she buys her own plan. So the issue in so many ways, whether it's the impoverished, whether it's the middle class, is absolutely devastating and has been shown to be a pivotal issue for the American public. Why are candidates, why are the states so tentative? Why don't they smack around the insurance companies and really take up this issue and really provide health care? Why is there so little currency on a comprehensive health insurance program for all of the peoples of this country?
Well, I've heard it said that our terrible health care system is the bitter fruit of a rotten campaign finance system. That is, we have a campaign finance system that relies on big money donations, and the insurance industry and the drug industry are major supporters of political campaigns, and they are also major opponents of national health insurance. So while the American people and even folks within the medical profession might believe that nonprofit national health insurance is the way to go, the private insurance industry and the drug industry are adamantly opposed and are using their full financial clout to try to block change. And I think when politicians come in, they see, gee, health care is a potentially very popular issue. If I'm seen as a hero on health care, I could use that as a springboard to higher office. They're aware of that. At the same time, they're aware of the immense power of the insurance and drug industry to smack them down, if you will, if they try to step on their toes. So what we're going to need to get national health insurance is a real political movement, like the civil rights movement, like an anti-war movement. We need a real political movement to persuade politicians that unless they support national health insurance, they won't be elected, will hold their feet to the fire. What we've seen instead is a lot of politicians who want to talk about health care, want to pose as a champion of universal health care, but they're just not willing to take on the insurance and pharmaceutical industries at this point in time.
Well, you started with the politicians. So Edwards has been touted all over the media. He's got a health care proposal. So we started by asking the question, is half a loaf enough? What are those proposals?
Well, the good thing about Edwards is he's saying we need to repeal the tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts. And of course, that's good because it will make the tax system more fair. But the health plan he proposes would still incorporate the private health insurance industry with all of their waste, with all of their overhead. And for that reason, you're going to only be able to add coverage by spending more money. The problem is healthcare is already too expensive. We really shouldn't be spending more money on the health system. $7,000 per person is enough. We need to look inside the healthcare system and find the waste, both administrative waste and the unnecessary medical services, find that waste within the healthcare system and use that money to cover the uninsured and improve coverage for folks who only have partial coverage now. So that's the problem with Edwards, good tax policy, terrible health policy.
But Paul Krugman, who is an advocate of single payer, as are you, seems to think that the plan that Edwards is putting forth would work because it does incorporate a single payer component.
And that's Krugman from the Times?
Yes, Krugman from the Times.
I think that's an incorrect use of the term single payer. You don't have a single payer if you have one government agency and then you have multiple private insurance. A real single payer would have to be a government plan that would cover everyone, or certainly everyone within a certain age group. And that's not, in fact, what Edwards is proposing.
And these several state plans, like the Massachusetts plan where you are, the California plan, is this, I mean, we were talking a week again before about, is half a loaf better than none?
Well, we did not get half a loaf in Massachusetts. In fact, most of what we've gotten is an individual mandate, which is a requirement that the uninsured themselves go out and buy coverage. And we're just hearing what that individual mandate involves. The average premium is going to be $3,700 per year. But after you've been forced by the employer mandate to spend $3,700 for your premium, you're still going to have a $2,000 deductible on your policy. So if you were to get sick, you would have paid the $3,700 premium, depleted all your savings paying the premium, but still have to pull $2,000 out of your pocket if you get sick. So I don't think that's really half a loaf. I think many of my patients are going to end up worse off under the individual mandates than they are right now, being uninsured and relying on the present sort of patchy network of free care and emergency Medicaid.
What's it going to take to get single payer or Medicare for all, as I like to call it, into the mainstream media, the New York Times, which runs these articles and never mentions it? What's it going to take to really get this issue out in front?
We've been seeing increased attention to the issue of single payer, despite what I had to say about Mr. Krugman's inappropriate use of the term single payer. Most of his other articles that have addressed healthcare have been arguing for the single payer approach. Certainly, we see it in columns in the Boston Globe all the time. There have been columns in some of the business papers and in newspapers and in other places. So it hasn't been a total blackout on news of single payer. Certainly, you're correct that there's not enough talk about national health insurance, but we have seen some. I think advocates of national health insurance, such as me and you, need to be out there as publicly as possible, as often as possible, putting forward the idea of real nonprofit national health insurance. We need to be doing that on the radio, in medical groups like I do, in union halls, in senior citizens organizations and religious organizations. Whatever forums we're part of, we need to try to involve people in a real movement for nonprofit national health insurance. You know, people in Canada have complete free care for covered services. They do not have to pull money out of their pockets to go see a doctor. And it doesn't matter if they have a horrible illness that consumes hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. There's never a cap on their benefits. Everything's covered. That's the kind of protection people get in Canada. It's the kind of protection that you see in Australia and Northwestern Europe. And the American people deserve that kind of protection as well.
Well, Doctor, we're just barely scraping the surface. So much to be said on this. And we always like the term whiteout, but that's not what WBAI does. We try to bring forward the issues. And I know that your website has significant, impactful statements and information on it so that people can continue to take up and organize around the issue of a real single-payer health system to ensure all people in this country and give them quality health care. So where do we go?
If you want to Google us or use this other search engine, we're Physicians for a National Health Program. If you can remember our initials, we're www.pnhp.org, just our initials, PNHP, Physicians for a National Health Program. And you're right, there's a lot of information, ideas of ways to get involved, people in your own area. So by all means, please go to the website and get involved in this movement.
Well, Dr. Woolhandler, who is an associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and co-founder of Physicians for a National Health Program, we have to invite you back with other guests and really have a whole hour where we really take on this issue. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure's mine.